Shabbat Bitachon Perek Dalet, and we were learning how the Chavos Levavos has told us that ordinarily a person should look for the parnasa which is to his liking, with the hours he likes and everything he likes, the salary, the work conditions, the fringe benefits. Don't settle for less. Take only the best, like you want it. But the fact is that sometimes it happens that we find ourselves in a situation that doesn't work out that way. So I tried Taka, and it works out that the boss fooled me, and he's not giving me those benefits, and it works out, I come to have to work very hard, and I just can't quit right now, and I'm stuck in this situation. So how do I accept my fate and my bad fortune? So we left off last time where the Chavos Levavos says a person has to think. Sort of life is, a person is thinking and he has to meditate. A person has to say to himself that, look, I know nothing about my life is by chance. I know when Hashem made me 5'10" and gave me brown eyes and brown hair and gave me freckles and he put exactly one freckle on my nose and one on my left ear. I know nothing is by chance, and the fact that everything I have in my life is exactly from the Rabbeinu Shlom, my exact proportions. I know I was born at exactly the right second, exactly in the right hospital. The midwife, the nurse, the doctor, the obstetrician, everything was bashered from the Rabbeinu Shlom. So I believe that my parnasa is also from the Rabbeinu Shlom. My chayves eshtadlus. The show be talking is that I'm willing to hold out for the best situation. But if right now it happened to be that it didn't work out like I wanted, I accept that this is exactly how Hashem wants it to be for right now. Doesn't mean I'm stuck with this. Doesn't mean I have to accept this forever. But if the fact is that today I'm not where I want to be, I accept it. I know this was also shared from the Rabbeinu Shlom. And then he says, and that this leads us in, he says, this is how we accept life in general. How a person accepts every matzav in regard to social matters, in regard to the family. A person can find himself without a family, Rachmon Islam, Bodeg the Galmud. A person can find himself totally alone, lonely, abandoned, deserted. And sometimes a person has a family, he's overwhelmed, and he has 15 children. And he can't support them, and the house is bedlam and pandemonium, and he has no room in his house. He's living in a one-bedroom apartment. So he has too much family, it seems. It just can't handle it all. So we have to learn, he says, we have to learn techniques for coping with social situations and emotional situations. So, and neighbor, sometimes you're a bad neighbor. He can't handle his neighbor, terrible neighbor. So he says, and no one, he says, ain lecha amana, he says, no person who can escape either one way or the other. Either a person is too lonely, or a person has too much. He's too busy. His social calendar is packed. He has a chasen every night, and 3 chef brachas, and 4 pidgin abens, and he has all kinds of social obligations, and he doesn't do it himself. So how do you deal with all this? Sometimes we have just too much, and too much on our plate. This is the problem. Civic persons is Zarb and Malcolm McGurb. He says, if you moved into a neighborhood and nobody knows you, no one cares about you, you haven't made any friends. And nobody, he says, it's also good. He says, because when you feel alone, a person should feel alone, but not lonely. Because when you're a Galmud, when you're alone, then one has to find solace in the Rabbeinu Shlom. Mitayshu Margish is Atma Galmud, who Daveg Belekov. Just the opposite. And he feels he's a ger. And if I care, when I feel helpless and I have no friends, he's boiteach in the Rabbeinu Shlom. And he starts thinking that this is so deep, this is so beautiful, this is such a mature approach. He says, when a person's all alone and he realizes that I'm not alone, you know, I really, even when I'm in the middle of a chasna of 1,000 people, or maybe 10,000, the Javits Convention Center, man's really alone in this world. Because the truth of the matter is that I don't belong over here. My neshama comes from Shemayim. And all the people in the world, you know, everybody in this room, all these 1,000 people, every one of them individually is a ger, is a stranger. As it says in Vayikra, the Rabbeinu Shlom says, Ki gerim v'toshavim atemim adi. You're all gerim and toshavim. You're all just strangers and temporary dwellers here. And he should say to himself, you know, even a person who has a big family, and he has lots of children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, maybe this fellow never has no children. So how do you deal with it? So I said to himself, you know, I have no children, I have no grandchildren, I have nobody, I'm not even married, I'm a single, I'm old, out the bacher, and I have nothing in the world, I have no, my parents are long gone, and I have no children, no wife, no nobody, mama, how does a person deal with that? It's not very schwer. But I have friends who got married, mama, the week before I got married, and they were the kvaters, my children's brisen, and the wonderful tzaddikim and tzadkaniyot, these two, and they have no children. All these years, almost 32 years, they have no children. And they love children. They're the wonderful, sweet people. Whenever I have a simcha to myself, I think of myself, how do these people survive? Especially when you live in the yeshiva, and everybody has, their friends or grandchildren, many grandchildren, and maybe bar mitzvahs even for their grandchildren already. They have talmidim who have children and grandchildren. And here they are, never all these years, all alone. How do you cope with this? How does one survive? It's so overwhelming and depressing. So Chavdo says, well, you know, that's life. And Hashem, if Hashem gives us this, there has to be a strategy to cope. And this is the strategy, he says. A person should say to himself, anybody, no matter how huge your family has, we all become strangers, not in the very near future, in the not so distant future, everyone will be buried. And the grave, you can't take your family with you. You also can't take your money with you. And this is a sound. You can't take your family with you either. In the grave, you come to Shemayim, your body is here, and your neshama stands in front of the Kisei HaKavod, and nobody comes with you. When you stand in front of the Kisei HaKavod, I said over in the Shabbos HaGadol, the Gra says in the end of Mishlei that we're all going to stand in front of the Kisei HaKavod after 120 years, and Hashem will give us 180 days to Darshan all the Torah you learn. You better remember something. You better learn something. You have 180 days. If you have nothing to say, you'll sit there like a goyim in front of the... You guys staying like a goyim in front of the room for 180? No, weiter. So you'll say, oh, sure. Maybe I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, the Hector Chalav Rabbi Gamliel Chatzah. Okay, next mission. Let's see. Arba Rosh Hashanah. Okay, God. Now, Arba Rosh Nazikin. Yeah. Okay, Braves Boil Kimish Mavo. Oh, yeah, I remember that one too. And remember the rabbi gave a drusha once something about the Zohar. I don't know, something. I didn't pay attention anyway. It was way out. That's about it, Rabbi Shalom. I don't have a good memory. I was busy. 180 days, just stand there. 180 days. All the Malachi Asharis, everyone's watching, all alone. Now your father is there. He wants to coach you a little bit. Your Zayd is there. He wants to coach. No coaching, no help. You're stuck. Your kid's there. Your poor kid won all the Mishnayos contests. He knows 2,000 Mishnayos about Peh. He wants to help you out. But he can't help you out. So after 120, we're all strangers. Everybody's alone. Every man for himself. Man the lifeboats. Every man's for himself after 120 years. So, the kitzer, he said, lo yoye lo yoz le korov lo ben. Vav echad lo yoye oz bechavrasa. No one's going to be there. It's an amazing thing. Even though we say, after you die, so someone say kaddishu, it's all very nice. Some people do tzedakah for you. It's all very, this is all, you know, epis, a shtickle extra. But b'shas ha-din, it's every man for himself. So the truth is that people who are so Torah, he says, with their big families, it could be a disadvantage because they are losing sight of the fact of man's etzem solitude. This is a very philosophical concept that really every man has to feel very alone in this world. After it's all said and done, I mean, how much love your wife, how much love your children, your grandchildren, really, chayecha koydman. Chayecha koydman, a man comes first. Now, we said a few weeks ago, the halach would be that if it's, I'm walking in the desert with my son, and the question who gets the canteen of water, I have to give it to myself, not my son. Afi halach, it would be wrong to give it away. I would be ma'avas, my beloved son. I have to drink it myself. So ultimately, every person has to recognize his own individuality. So therefore, it's not so. We're not looking for this, but evidently, if a person has no mishpach and he has nothing in the world, Hashem gives everybody the ability to carry their burden. And sometimes even a person never learned Chavos Levavos and never even thought this sophisticated meditation, but the neshama must have some sense, some defense mechanism to somehow come to grips with the difficult situation of loneliness, something of this sort. So the Chavos says, but Lamaisa, you're a Yidah Maimon, this is how Maimon has to think. That Hashem, this is a gift from Hashem. Loneliness can also be a gift. Everything is a gift from Hashem. This can also be transformed into a gift. Now, the truth of the matter is that, you know, there's a famous Maral. Maral says, in Davidim, we say, Hashiva Shavtenik Rish, no, let's see, Allah Tzadikim, Valach Hasidim, Val Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael, Val Fletz Afrayim, Val Geri Atzadek, Val Leini Amun Rachamecha. So we say Allah Tzadikim, Valach Hasidim, which, you know, it doesn't say Allah Hasidim, Val Tzadikim, Val Mehet Mishnam Et Hasidim. But, so, Allah Hasid Tzadikim, Valach Hasidim, Val Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael, Val Fletz Afrayim, which means the Gdoilim really were left in the previous door, right? Val Geri Atzadek. Well, Geriat Tzedek. Why are we throwing the Geriat Tzedek over here? So the Maral says, because really, the truth is that the person who was Taka Tzedek and a Chosid and a Zokeng and a Talmud Chacham realizes that the person is a Bar Das, a person is intellectual. An intellectual person who's not into the Chomer, into the flesh of this world, but primarily is focusing on improving his heart and his mind, that person realizes that he is a stranger in this world. They're all strangers. Ha-seichel ger ba'olam hazeh. Seichel, any person with seichel realizes that this is not my world. This world doesn't make any sense. This world is narishkeit. This is shtuyot. Makes no sense. So much narishkeit going on. So much irrationality going on. So the seichel is a ger ba'olam hazeh. The seichel is really mayis na'olam hazeh. The seichel yearns that the neshama should return to its source in Shemayim. And the seichel is not so afraid of death. It's only afraid of death because in this world, there's more opportunities for the seichel to enrich itself. The seichel is here for a purpose. That by seeing the mitoich ha-choshech roya sa'or. So the seichel appreciates that going through this world strengthens the seichel to realize the darkness of this world. So actually the light of the intellect gets stronger and more focused. But on the other hand, the seichel knows it doesn't belong over here. So the seichel is not afraid of death. And ha-seichel ger b'olam hazeh. So that is why in this bracha we speak about the people of stature. The anshei tzura, the chasidim, the tzadikim, the zekeinim, the pleita seifreyim. So then we put about geriat tzedek. Because the geriat tzedek, because all these people feel like gerim. Any person who was worthy of the title of being a tzadik and a chasid and a talmud chacham, he walks on this earth, like the Chazon Ish says, but his neshama is much higher. His feet seem to be planted on earth, but really he's a malach and he's hovering over this earth. He only looks like he's walking in the street together with everybody else, mamish side by side, rubbing shoulders, but he's really not, because his mind and his heart are in a totally different place and a different area. The seichel is a ger b'olam hazeh. Says the Chavos Levavos says that sometimes a person, so that's why gedolim, great men of previous generations, upgericht agolus, was a very common thing. It doesn't happen. Well, there we have had the goyim. I'm sorry, but that's not really good enough. The union of the golus, the Vilna Gaon went to Gaon. I don't remember exactly. For a long time, I believe it was over a year, maybe more. The Gra, whose every second was so precious, didn't waste time. The Gra went into Golus for a long time, and it was all. I mean, here the girl doesn't waste a second. And to spend a year or two, or how, I'm not quite sure, I don't know, I forgot, I have to look up the biography again. A long period of time. Golas, and the dafka was, he should be a stranger, don't you give him covered, he shouldn't have usual creature comforts, and he should have this sense that this is not my world. By being in a place where literally I'm a stranger, in a city where no one knows me, I start to realize it's a tremendously humbling thing. Very humbling. And makes us recognize that we are all strangers in this world. And all the Hasidish Gedolim, Upgericht Golus, and my Shrei always tells over the story of how the Baal HaTanya, Reb Shneur Zalman, why he went to Galus, because he was a very young teenager when he came to the Mizritcha Magid. And he was very hamish with the Mizritcha Magid. So once the Mizritcha Magid was in his room, and Reb Shneur Zalman, I think his nickname was Zunya. Zunya, I think they called him. Zunya. Zalman, Zunya. So he knocked on the door. And the Rebbe said, "Who's there?" And he said, "Ich." The Rebbe said, "Who's there?" "Ich." "Who's there?" "Ich." "Who's there?" "Oh, Zunya. Shneur Zalman. Come to rein. Come in." The Rebbe says to him, "I think it's time for you." He's all uprichten at Galus. It's time for you to go into Galus. So he went to Galus for a year or so. And right before he was about to come back to Mizritch, so he was in an inn, and the innkeeper lost some silverware, and he thought it was stolen, and he cast his eye on this strange youngster who was there, unknown, and he suspected that it was Zunya who stole the silver. So he started beating him and saying, "You did it! You stole it! Confess! And Reb Shneur Zalman was screaming out, Nitich, it's not me. No, you did it, confess. Nay, not me, Nitich, do, it's you. Nay, Nitich. Finally, he broke away from the grip of the innkeeper and he ran for his life and he came back to Mezrich. And the Rebbe said, "Well, tell me what happened in your Golus. Tell me about what happened." They told him the story. And the Rebbe said to him, "Zest, vifel mol, but I've zogen Nitich, for ein mol zogen ich." See how many times you have to deny, "Not me," and say, not me, for one time saying, "Ich." So the Oizah of Gaul says, "Bittul hayei, bittul hanoichius." Like my share was called the Reb Zichale. So our egos are very great, very, very super inflated. And even though we deny it, but every one of us has definitely an inflated ego. It's only a question of how much inflated it is, but definitely inflated. Different levels of inflation, perhaps. Inflation comes in different levels, but we're all inflated. We don't want to be masking. But I tell you, gaiva does not mean, arrogance does not mean that I think I'm great and I'm perfect. God means I'm right. I'm stubborn. When people are stubborn and they don't want to hear anybody else's opinion, and they're very stubborn, that's gaiva. Gaiva is stubborn. Not that I'm great. I don't say I'm great. Everyone knows I'm not great. Who am I? But I'm right. I'm not great, but I'm right. I know better what's good for me. And don't you tell me, Rabbi, what's right for me. I'm not great, Rabbi. You're greater than me, but I'm right. I know what's right. That's a guy. Anyway, the chazal above is that a person, galus, alone, loneliness, all these things have very positive effects on people. Why some people need so much, only the good Lord knows. But it can be transformed into a good thing. And when a person's alone, he can say, you know, if I have family, I'd be stuck. Wow, we've had a family. I'd be in the doc. I have 15 kids. I have to run to the doctor. I have to go here. I have to go there. I have to go to school. I have to go to PTA meetings. I have to go carpools. Carpools. Just the word alone makes people's blood freeze and shiver. Carpool. Oh, it's called. It's the makash like suvatayra. Carpools. Like it's carpool syndrome. So the kids are. So if the person's all alone, they can say to themselves, "Boy, Hashem, I'm the carpool. Baruch Hashem, I don't have PTA meetings. I don't go to doctors with pediatricians and Zachen. It's good. And I don't have to work so hard. I don't have to make such a big parnasa. I don't have to have so many cars. And I can work on my ruchnias. And I can be bodeit. I can be with the Rebbein Shalom." And he says, for this reason, the Hasidim Aprushim, he says, the Prushim, the real Hasidim, even who have families, they periodically run away from their families, and they go into the mountains, and they meditate, and they have Hasbaididus, and they have solitude. And in Hasidus, I mean, solitude is, and breast of Hasbaididus, of Nachman, right? A person must have Hasbaididus every day. You have to have some privacy every day. A person has any private time with himself every day. Is Nishke Mensch. And he says, yeah, preferably go out into the forest. If you can't go out into the forest, then at least have a room someplace where you can be alone. And if you don't have a room, you can be alone. You don't have your own private room, Nebuch. You don't have a private room. So at least pull the covers over your head. And be mizbayit under the covers at night. and have a sense of pride. I have my own little world. That I ultimately live my own little world. So he says the Hasidim would run away from their homes to the mountains so that their thoughts would be penuyais, would be clean and undisturbed by avodas Hashem. And Nevi'im too. Nevi'im, no way a Navi could come to prophecy to a prophetic level of Ruach HaKodesh. Only Yaitzim, Mimonaseim, Umizbaidim, that leave their homes and be alone, alone, alone in solitude. It's the only way Lerakeis, Machreiseim, to concentrate onto the Chayvis that are upon them, their obligations to the Rabbanu Shalom. Otherwise, we're so distracted with all our obligations to our family and our friends and society that we have no time for ourselves. We are living in a very difficult generation today. Today we have so many obligations. The average person, the social obligations are nishnormal. It's just no end. No end. And there's always the telephone. So, if you can escape that, there's always the fax. If you escape that, there's always the beeper. If you can't escape that, there's always your cell phone. So, everyone's connected. The world wants to be connected, interneted, and it's the biggest chassar in the world. So he says like this. He ends off with this story. This is a story. Wow. So Chassidus Shemaisa. So I'll tell you Chassidus Shemaisa, but this Chassidus Shemaisa is from the 1200s, not from the 1700s. So I'll tell you in Mesut Pralecha the Chassid Tzadikim. Once a tzaddik went to a certain medina to teach him. He was a missionary. There was once a tzaddik to a missionary. He came to a certain desolate place to teach them about God, to teach them how to be Oved Hashem. He comes to this way out, remote country, and he sees they're all wearing the exact same clothing. Everyone wears the exact same color, the exact same style. Everyone's the exact same uniform. Same color, same style. And he sees every person right in front of their house. They have a grave dug, an open grave, right in front of the door. And he sees all these people, no wives amongst them. How do you put all this together? So he says, Chevra, what is the meaning of this? You have one uniform and graves in front of your house and no wife. What's this? So he said, it's very partial. The reason we wear one color and one style, so there should be no social levels, there should be no difference between us, between rich and poor. There are rich people and poor people here, but we want that the rich man shouldn't be a Balgaiva and think he's richer because he's wealthy, he's better. So therefore we have the exact same house, exact same clothing. We do not make any social, no external trappings to manifest our different monetary level. And the poor guy doesn't feel impoverished, and the rich guy doesn't feel arrogant. And also, in order to remind ourselves that one day will mamash be equal. See, in this world, well, okay, so I'm dressed the same thing as you, but you know, I'm 5'10", and you're a little runt what you are, you're only 5 feet tall. And then another guy is 6'3", and I'm a strapping, good-looking guy. So, as long as we are vertically, some people are vertically challenged, because they're a couple inches less vertically. But when it's horizontal, we all look the same thing. The kever, it's horizontally, there's no problem. Once you cover up the grave, no one knows the difference between if you're 6'3" or 5'10", meveis and shnaf gemina. So therefore, in case somebody is still balgaiva, because I'm 5 foot, I'm 6'3", and you're a little runt. So, we remember that someday we'll all be horizontally laid out in our kivorim, and there'll really be no difference between us. And he said, and they told him, the Chazal says that they told this tzaddik, the missionary, there was once a king who the king himself didn't live in his own palace, and he didn't wear his crown, and didn't wear his royal robes, and he would dafka wear the clothing of a commoner, and live very much like a commoner, so they should not externally show any difference. Because he didn't want people to know and recognize him as a king. Because he felt that would ruin his seichel and make him too arrogant. And also we have our graves in front of the house, so we're ready for the day of death. We should realize that the whole purpose of life is not to make ourselves nice clothing, and not to build beautiful homes. The purpose of life is to prepare for our ultimate home in Olam Haba. Yes, we should be taka architect, and we should have blueprints, and we should spend a lot of time thinking about building a house, up as the house in Yenavelt. People spend as much time designing their home in Olam Haba, which is forever, as they do designing, they're remodeling their kitchen in this world. So I heard on the radio the other day, because I only listen to hear the weather, remember. But until the weather comes on, you're a lot of stuff. So what could I do, you know? So there's 8:80. I'm waiting just for the weather on the 8th. But all the clocks are not synchronized. I get on the 7th. So here he is, Joe Connolly with the Wall Street News. Joe Connolly says, boy, this is the decade of remodeling. He says, they say in Westchester County, there's not one house that doesn't have a dumpster in front of it because they're remodeling. And the average person remodels the house every 5 years. I guess I'm not average. And with every 2 years or so, they put about $5,000 into their house. Maybe only in Westchester County. Not in Rockland. Doesn't go over the tap and see. And Rockland just buy that beautiful big house in the first place. They don't bother remodeling. Just put it all in the first place. So he said, we should all be into remodeling. We should be into building beautiful homes. We should get the architect. But the architect should be your Rav. It should be your Talmud. It should be your Mashgiach. It should be your Mayer Derech. Your Baal Musar. Your Mashgiach. And the blueprint comes from Chayvus HaLavavis. Because we're building homes that we have to live in forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And ever. And we'll come to Olam Haba. And this is where we have a big house. And Olam Haba, they're a bunch of them, put us into a little one-bedroom apartment with the Sheiritim on the outside. And there won't even be a telephone. Because we didn't bother planning the house. In Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, we were very, very, we're so busy working on a house in this world, we had no time to design a home for Olam Haba. So Chavetz Chaim said he had no furniture in this world. Because Chavetz Chaim didn't want furniture. Sure, he wanted furniture. He was a bit into furniture Shenembo, but he was so busy designing his furniture. I'm accounting his furniture in Olam Haba. Boy, does he have a beautifully furnished villa in Olam Haba, though. I would love to see the Chavetz Chaim's villa in Olam Haba. But you know what? He ain't going to let me in. Because if I go to his villa, I'll enjoy it too much. I don't deserve it. He deserves to enjoy his villa in Olam Haba. But villains don't get into his villa. And that's what the word says. You don't see. We'll be nichveh. Everybody's gonna be burnt when they see Yenim's house in Olam Haba. I'll be so jealous. I said, why was I so stupid? I had 70, 80, 90 years to do something and prepare my Olam Haba. I was so stupid. I wasted my, as I prepared for my Olam Haba, I wasted my time in Olam Haba. Oh, I'm such a nar. Look at the beautiful house this guy has. This schlepper, this schnorr, had no derech eretz for me. Sat in the back of the shul, had no derech eretz for this schnorr. What was he? He drove a yeshivish a clunker his whole life. Had no derech eretz for him. He lived in the one. And look at the house he has in Olam Haba. I can't even visit him. Because everybody in Olam Haba is on their own. You're on your own. It's an individual suites. No, it's private. Everybody gets their own private suite in Olam Haba. You're all alone. So he says they told him. So we have the kfarim next to our homes to remind us that the main thing is to prepare for Yom HaMisa. And with the prepare food, it's a long trip, mitzvahs, ma'isim tovim. And the reason why we're away from our wives and children, we have a separate city for them. They're nearby. We have a separate little community for the wives and children. And we go there often to take care of whatever they need or whatever we need. And we take care of them. But we always live here. We live here. We, the men, live here separate. Because we saw that there's so much tirda from being with the wife and children all the time that we have no menucha whatsoever to even think about what life is all about. So therefore, we leave them in a little separate community. And this gives us a chance to be baicha in Olam Haba at the emayis Olam Haza. We get so when we find that when our wives are not children all the time, all we just hear like there's a bas call reverberating in the house, go shop, shop, shop. Shop till you drop. Get moving. Don't stay home. Get great adventure. Get out of here. Chol HaMoed is ready for great adventure. So it's so meshuggah about the wives and children drive us crazy that we have to live alone. So the Chazavavas, the Vreya Matzu Chaim Ben Yatzadik, Fubeir Chaisam, the Shibach Asanagosam, the Tzadik said, you know, that's good. I learned more from you than I taught you. So, now let's not get me in trouble. Don't say that before it's advocating that we have we have two estates of Forshe, his and hers, male and female. Now, is this what the next development? Don't get me in trouble now. Although that's a bad idea, you know, this might be the way of the future. This might be the way to go. So when you remodel your house now, you know, his wing and her wing.
How do you
answer
for the children in such a situation?
Look, if it's partial, that the Chavetz Chaim is telling you the story. Right. It's an extreme thing, but the idea is that we have to always remember that no matter how much it's important that children, our wives, and everything, a person can't forget about his own neshama. You know, the Nevardiker, nobody's more of a Klai Yisrael than the Nevardiker. He built the whole network of yeshivas that Ratavid Yidden in the early part of the century. Unfortunately, not much left, but Navaradika still is a concept. The Navaradika, how does it work? Rav Shaul Salanter found him in Memel. Memel is a city on the border between Prussia and Lithuania, and he was a teenager, and he just had gotten married, and I believe it was his wife's family, the royal Yisraimim, and he took upon himself to support his wife and her brothers and sisters, his siblings, his children, and he was very, the Navaradika of Yisrael Zohar, which was very, very brilliant, for Shteitzach. And he was a very good businessman. He was a Talmud Chacham. But he had to go into business. And he was in importing, exporting business. And he was doing very well. And he was so busy for states that he couldn't learn very much. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter found him a memel. And Rabbi Yisrael said, what's going to be? You have such kaiches. Chelech l'raisa. You have to support the family. I said, what do you think it's going to be? It's not your problem. If you have the kaiches to become a big Talmud Chacham and to make something out of yourself and you can do for Klal Yisrael, this is your assignment right now. Don't get bogged down in this. And you start there. Make a long story short, he start there. Somehow he just looked at things differently. He didn't realize he didn't have to commit spiritual suicide because all these people depend on him. It's not, this is a rubbish dump of the world for them too, you know? And he somehow set it up that he did not just mafanas them. He went back to learn for many, many, many years. And they didn't starve, you know, they didn't starve. And he became the Navaradika. He was learning for many years after that. Many, many years. He didn't go out there. When he went out finally, I think it was late in his 40s, maybe his 50s, when he started building the Navaradika yeshivas, he was a great man. Because the longer you stay and learn, the more you're in incubation, the greater you become. And one general is worth 100,000 privates. One general, one god was worth 100,000 little Talmud Chacham. One leader, one general is worth more than 100,000. One general is worth more. So Navaradika became a great general. He became a field marshal. Navaradika accomplished tremendous things. So a person. So just this is a musuk that many people have been destroyed by this. I have to do for my kids too. I have to do everything. But when it comes to pranos, etc., there's time for yourself and there's a time for everything. And you don't have to get lost. You don't have to get lost. And if you give quality time when it's appropriate, then you'll have quality time for yourself and a person, and you'll be a better father and a better husband after taking care of your own neshama and your own personality and being with yourself, you'll be a better father and a better person. It's pasha dazoi. It's pasha dazoi. Without the marach on that. This is an extreme example, of course, live separately. We never heard such a thing, but the chazal is telling us the concept of it. Are we advocating building? It's bad enough you have a cemetery across the street from you, my friend. And we're not advocating putting the cemetery into estates of Forche. But you see, it's Ben Shemayim, you have the cemetery across the street. What? It's not Pashut. It's a wonderful thing to have a cemetery across the street. This should be a selling point to add another at least $100,000 each lot over there. You bought yours already. What's your problem? So this should be a selling point. It's a Gavaldic selling point. This is what the Chavis always tells us. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop here for today. I don't like to stop. I want to keep going forever. But we'll have to wait till next week.